said, would you teach us? And they never didn't show up and say, hey, Jesus, would you teach us how to teach? Even though he's a masterful teacher. They didn't show up and say, hey, Jesus, would you teach us how to forgive people? Even though he was unbelievable at forgiving people. He didn't show up and say, hey, how do you do miracles? How do you walk on the water? How do you lead a movement? How do you deal with politics and governments? You know, none of that. They showed up to Jesus and asked one question one time. They said, would you teach us to pray? It's the only thing they asked him for. They said, would you teach us to pray? And largely, I think, because Jesus' prayer life is so radically different from all the rest. There is a relational quality between Jesus and God the Father that is completely different than the rest of us. There's an intimacy, there's a power, there's a connection. And I think, I mean, look, these guys who were the disciples, a lot of them had followed other people, a lot of them knew folks who prayed. They'd seen other prayers out in the world. And they came to Jesus and said, there's something different in the way you pray, so would you teach us to pray? And we've been reading through Luke. We've been going through Luke for months now, over and over. We see Jesus pray, and he's constantly in prayer. He stayed up all night to pray. He gets up early to pray. He's praying in the middle of the day. He's constantly praying. And so they go to him one day, and they say, would you teach us to pray? So that's what we're going to look at this morning, really, with this exact same attitude. It's would you teach us to pray? Grab your Bible, your app, whatever you got. Luke chapter 11, if you're using a hard copy, you're using a book, and you're not familiar, you're going to find it about three-fourths of the way through to the back. You're going to find a bunch of guys' names, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're looking at Luke chapter 11. We're going to pick it up where we left off. We worked our way up through chapter 10, took a little parenthesis, went back to the beginning over the holidays, and looked at the birth narrative, and now we pick it up again in chapter 11. Before we read it, let's follow in the example of the disciples. Before we study prayer, you and I, let's stop and basically ask Jesus to teach us to pray. So why don't you take a minute right there and just ask him, with just an open heart, teach you to pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God who hears prayer. And I pray now that you would speak to us and teach us as individuals and as a church how to pray. All right, amen. All right, verse 1. Let me just read through, make a couple of comments, and we'll come back and look at the lessons on this thing. Okay, verse 1, he says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Here he is praying again. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John has taught his disciples. All the rabbis would teach their followers how to pray. And they come to Jesus saying, teach us. And he said to them, when you pray, say. You might even want to underline that word say. We're coming back to that in a minute. And he says, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Now, if you're familiar with what we call the Lord's Prayer, right? You're going to recognize immediately this is a little bit different from the one you might have learned and prayed at other times. We're going to come back and talk about that in just a second as well. And then Jesus tells a story about prayer, verse 5. And then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. Now this is a major social faux pas. This is a shame on this man, on his family, on his house, on his extended family, and on the entire community. Hospitality in that day and age was critical. There were no, Motel 6 or Holiday Inn. You couldn't swing by McDonald's on the way and get something to eat. So you traveled dependent on the mercies of the people. And so when you come to somebody's house, if they say, I've got nothing, it shames everybody. And you couldn't just say, hey, let me run down to Circle K, or why don't we run through Taco Bell? It's a shame. And so he shows up, pounds on his neighbor's door saying, I need some food. And now verse 7, Jesus takes the story. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. And so I say to you, ask. See, that's kind of the point of that first story. You just keep asking. And then he gives us his familiar verse. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Let me pause for just a second. Because as we read that, it sounds like go ask once, go seek once, go knock once. But the way this is written, and the Greek language and the English language function just a little bit differently, but the way this particular verb is written, it's the idea of ask and just keep on asking. And so Jesus summarizes the story by saying, look, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives. Everyone who keeps on seeking finds. And to the one who keeps on knocking, the door will be open. And so it's this idea of persistence. Just keep pressing on. And then Jesus wraps up the story this way. Verse 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, underline that phrase, that's the point of all these stories, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more? That's kind of his whole point. You have friends next door, and they're pretty good friends, but how much better a friend is God? And some of you guys are fathers, you're parents, you give good gifts, you just celebrated Christmas. None of you folks gave your kids scorpions unless they asked for it. One year I gave my son a snake, but that's what he wanted, you know, so that was a good loving thing to do, at least we thought. Anyway, and what he's saying is, even though you're a good father, and you know how to give decent gifts, how much more, how much better a father is God? That's the whole point. He says, so keep on asking. And so Jesus tells this thing. Now look, in all honesty, we could spend the entire spring trying to mine all of the gold on these few words. I mean, Jesus has taught so much in these handful of words. We could literally spend months of Sundays and talk about what it means and how it applies. It is so simple that a child back here in our most elementary levels could understand it and pray. It is so deep that the most experienced and seasoned Christ follower has more to learn every time they dig into it. It is that kind of thing. It is brilliant as the way Jesus has put this thing together. And look, he lays all this out, 13 verses. I'm going to spend 35 minutes. I'm going to say way longer than he did. You know, maybe it's because I'm slow. But let me just, look, again, there's so much. I'm just going to try to give you five lessons that I see here. I could have given you 25. Just five lessons. I think of what Jesus has for us that we can learn how to pray. Let me just start with, here's the first one, is that you have to sign on for the class. You have to sign on for the class. I mean, I know that sounds simplistic, but in fact, it's actually fairly profound. If you want to learn to pray, it really begins by going to Jesus and saying, Jesus, would you teach me to pray? And that seems a little bit counterintuitive, but because we think we're Christians, we're Christ followers, we ought to be good at it. But the truth of the matter is, prayer is not something we are naturally good at. You don't become a Christian and automatically know how to pray well. This is a learned skill. This is something we need to be taught. And one reason we don't pray well, and look, I've talked to so many people, and almost every person, I only know one or two people who would say, you know, I really am fairly satisfied with my prayer life. There's only a handful of people I know who would say, I feel like I've really begun to figure out how to do this praying thing well. But most of us, when we talk about, well, how's your prayer life? It's like, oh, we hang our heads and we just say, I don't pray as well as I should. I don't pray as often as I should. I don't feel like I connect with God very well. And for most of us, there's a fair amount of guilt about our prayer life. But I think what Jesus is trying to say is, I want you to have that same connection with God that I have. Let me teach you. If you want to pray well, it really starts really very simple. Is say, Jesus, would you teach me? Sometimes if you've been a follower of Christ for a long time, that's hard to do. Because it's an admission that you don't know what you're doing. And there's a little shame and a little guilt tied up in that deal. But if you want to pray, if you want to learn how to pray, I don't think, by the way, this is a one-time, Lord, teach me. I think it's an ongoing life thing of Jesus, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. I don't know how to pray about this deal. I've got this big thing going on in my life. I don't know what to do with this. Jesus, show me, teach me, lead me in how to pray about this thing. And it takes a certain amount, maybe a significant amount, of humility and a sense of our own inadequacy to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I know you want me to pray. I know you call me to pray. But quite frankly, I'm not very good. I've got to confess to you my complete inability to pray and ask you to teach me to pray. And frankly, that's hard for us to do. We don't want to humble ourselves to that level. So we struggle to admit that something so basic in the Christian life is something we do so poorly. And we just think by now we should have figured it out. So please, Jesus, teach me to pray. And that's what we need. We need a teacher. And again, it's not a one-time lesson. Jesus teaches us over the course. It's not like you can go, give me an hour session and I'm done. This is a lifetime. And so we sign on for it. And some of it, and look, the reality is, let me just one other reality about us as people. Most of us, when we start a new skill, we want to immediately be good at it. And that's why many of us don't know how to play the guitar. We don't know how to do all paint. Because if we can't do it right the first time, we tend to hang it up and say, well, forget that. I'm not any good at that. And so prayer is actually work. It's not an easy thing. Talking to God is very simple. But praying well is something we have to be trained. And we want to be good immediately at it. And the great thing about Jesus is he is so tender and loving as a teacher. He teaches exactly according to your learning style. He knows you individually. He knows exactly what you need. When you say, Jesus, teach me to pray, he takes you, he figures out who you are and then begins to teach you the lessons according to your need, according to your style, according to where you are, according to your pace of learning. Because he's that kind of a teacher. Now, and so we got to ask him to teach us to pray. Now, just a word of caution, please. Let me give you this word of caution before we move off of this. Usually, when we ask, if we're not careful, when we ask Jesus to pray, Jesus, teach me to pray, what we usually mean is teach me how to get what I want when I want it. Right? And what we really are saying is, Jesus, teach me how to be an effective asker so that I get what I'm asking for. That's what we think. But Jesus, that's not what he's going to do for us. What he's going to do for us is not teach you how to get what you want, but teach you how to have a love relationship with God that is a daily experience where you talk to him and he talks to you. Jesus is going to take you so much deeper. But it all starts when we humble ourselves. Now look at the quote at the top of your, right above this point, at the top of your outline by Andrew Murray. And this is from a great little book. Let me read the quote first. It says, Lord Jesus, enroll my name among those who confess that they don't know how to pray as they should and who especially ask you for a course of teaching in prayer. What a great prayer. What a great place to start. It comes from this little book by Andrew Murray. It's a classic. Been around for a long, 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 long time. And it's called With Christ in the School of Prayer. And he wrote this book in 31 chapters with the idea that every day you would read one for a month. And they're short little 4, 5, 6-page chapters. And the whole goal is for him to, for Andrew Murray, is to take us deeper in our prayer life. If you want to grow, if you launch into this year, you'd like to be more effective in praying, maybe you ought to just order this up on Amazon or Kindle or whatever and just work your way through it over the next month. I think you would find it to be incredibly profitable. All right? With Christ in the Schoolhouse of Prayer. That was the name of that in case you missed it. All right, now, so let me give my second lesson I see here, and it's keep it simple. Keep it simple. One of the things that jumps out at us immediately is how short this prayer is. In the NIV, which I'm using, it's 35 words long. The way it was originally written down by Luke in the Greek, it's 38 words long. I mean, it's incredibly short. It's really not very complicated, is it? Not a lot of hard words, not a lot of hard things to figure out, but it's incredibly simple. I mean, take a look. We're going to flash it up here on the screen. I think we have it. Do you have it back? Yeah, there it is. All right, here it is. Here's the entire prayer that Luke gives us here from Jesus. Now together, I want us to read this together. All right, and I want us to experience how short this really is. You ready? All right, pray this with me. It says, Father, let me hear you now. Come on. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. About 15 seconds. Not long at all. It's incredibly short. It's incredibly simple. I can just see the moment back in the day. I can just see it where Jesus comes. He's been over praying, don't know where he is. He comes back over. One of the disciples comes up. We're going, Jesus, would you teach us to pray? And Jesus goes, well, sure. And he goes, hey, guys, Jesus is going to teach us to pray. They all come running in. They whip open their binders. They unroll their scrolls, grab all their pens. They're ready for the whole lesson. And Jesus says, okay, ready? When you pray, pray it like this. And about 15 seconds, they're kind of going, and then what? And he goes, I have a story. And they're going, that's the whole lesson? Even with the extra verses here, you're looking at maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes max in the whole deal. And it's an incredible, and I can see the guys looking around going, that's it? That's the whole lesson? That's all you got? Jesus gives us the simplest of prayers. Now in Matthew, on the Sermon on the Mount, as Matthew records in that teaching, Jesus gives a little bit longer version, right? And that's what the one many of you know and have memorized and recite along the way. And it's a longer version, but it's still incredibly short. But when the boys come to Jesus and say, Jesus, teach us to pray, Jesus gives us the simplest version of an incredibly simple prayer. And there's a lesson here. The lesson is that prayer is not complicated. It doesn't take a sophisticated formula. It's not something that is so highfalutin that you got to have a PhD or some advanced degree to understand. And most of the religious leaders in Jesus' day, when they taught people to pray, they gave them all of these long prayers with big words in it, right? And what Jesus gives us here is an embarrassingly short and simple prayer. No sophistication, no complication, and which is great. We don't need a bunch of magic words to pray well, just the usual words we use every day. We don't need a fancy prayer voice that sounds incredibly holy when we talk to God. Just your usual voice is going to do just fine. We don't need to fill our prayers with a bunch of these and thous and holy talk. We don't need to frame our prayer in words that sound very biblical and theologically sound. We just need to pray. There's a story one of my profs at seminary told about an old Scottish preacher. And the guy was up and he'd preached his way. And so at the end, he's doing his pastoral prayer and he's going on and on and on. And his prayer is kind of scraping the Milky Way and it's all this highfalutin. He's got all these great theological terms. And in many ways, he's showing off how much he knows about God, not so much what he's talking to God about. And finally, some little old lady back in this church had a little choir loft, a little church. Finally, some little old lady back here finally says, look, just call him Father and ask him for something. That's what Jesus is saying. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. Matter of fact, that's the next point. The next point is just talk to my heavenly dad. Just talk to him. I'm not sure why it is, but we tend to devalue the simple and highly value the complicated. If something is real sophisticated sounding, if something is real sophisticated, if something takes these huge complicated formulas, we go, that's smart. But just the simple, we tend to go, eh. And that's true in almost every area of life. I mean, really, when it comes down to your physical health, what do you really need to know? It's not complicated, is it? You go to the doctor, what's he basically say? Eat less, exercise more, right? I mean, isn't that it? Eat less, exercise more. It can't get much simpler than that, but what we do, because that is too simple, we try to complicate it. So now we all go out and join the kale clan, right? Right, or we have this sophisticated cleanse that we're going to go do, or we're going to meet on this super diet over here, or we're going to get this real complicated workout thing. Why? We value complication. And frankly, those are the things we do when we have violated the simple. When it comes here to financial world, right? And a lot of you guys, your resolution is to fix that. It's not complicated, is it? Spend less than you make and save the rest. How hard is that? When it comes to being an auto mechanic, change your oil regularly. But here's the problem. Advice that sounds basic but is important isn't valued as much as complicated advice that is necessary only when we've ignored the basic advice. And what Jesus is saying, when it comes to prayer, it's really simple. Just talk to your heavenly dad. And that's why I had you underline that word say. He says, look, when you pray, say. When you pray, talk. And who do you talk to? Father. Right? It's the same kind of talking we do every day. Prayer is, it's just talking. It's not some feeling. It's not some emotional state. It's not some meditative experience. It's just talking to God. It's having a conversation with God. It's not overly complicated. And you see what he says. What's the first thing he says? When you pray, say, Father. That's where it all starts. It's just that simple. Always, 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 we are simply children walking and talking with our Father. That's all we are. We're just kids with a relationship with God as Father. And this is foundational to the very core of our spiritual life. Our relationship with God is first and foremost as children. Even the order that Jesus lays out the prayer is significant. Because did you notice it? He says, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. And what that really means when you boil it down is, Lord, I want people to respect you for who you are. I want them to know you who you are. I want them to respect your character. I want them to look for it, look at you appropriately. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And what he's saying is first, he is Father first and King second. We are kids first and subjects second. Our primary relationship with God is that of kids. And this is the revolutionary thing that Jesus introduces us to. In the Old Testament, there's a couple of references to God as Father, but they're all national. They're all Israel. They're all Israel has been birthed by God. But when you come to Jesus, Jesus brings a level of intimacy with God that is astounding. It's revolutionary. It's new. Frankly, it is the thing that got him killed because he talked to God with such intimacy, with such familiarity that they said, that is blasphemy. So they nailed him to a cross. And what Jesus has come to say is that he came to not only to have a relationship with God as Father, but to bring us into that thing. And Jesus has come to introduce, and so the power and the quality of our prayer is tied to and proportionate to our understanding and experience of God as Father. It's not how much we know. It's not how eloquent we are. It's not our words and our formality. It's not the knowledge of all the... It's just simply the quality of our relationship with God as a Father. And it is the Father love of God that moves everything. And again, remember, that's the whole point of the story he tells at the end from 5 to 13. The whole point of the story is that God is a much more kind of Father. That he knows the gifts that we need. That he gives generously and readily. That if we just keep asking, he's going to move. That's the whole point of those stories. And so prayer It's just talking to our dad. And look, for some of you guys, that's hard. You've been scarred by your dad. There's just no other way to put it. Your dad was absentee or abusive. Your dad was harsh or demanding. Your dad was weak or passive. Your dad was whatever your dad was. And so the thought of you turning to God and saying, Dad or Father, there's a barrier you got to jump over here. And there's a trust you've got to develop with God, because it's hard. Because you've been scarred by your dad. And the truth is, and it's kind of the point of what Jesus is driving at, it doesn't matter. You could be a great dad. You could give all the best gifts to your kids. But the truth of the matter is, your best earthly dad is still inadequate and still disappoints and still leaves you wanting. But the key to prayer is when you begin to embrace and be embraced by a God of heaven that longs to love you with the intimacy and compassion and tenderness of the most tenderest of fathers. And if that dad thing is an issue for you, you know what I would tell you? Is to come to say, would you teach me to pray? Father, I know you're Father, but I have trouble with the concept of you as Father. Would you just tear that wall down? And that's a barrier for all of us. I think that's a struggle for every one of us. But if you've trusted Christ, then you are a child of God. And He is your Father. He longs to love you. If you haven't crossed that line of faith, I would encourage you to do that today, because prayer begins with your ability to say, Father. So let Him grow you up in that. Let me give you a fourth lesson real quick, if I could. Start with God and His agenda, and then move on to my needs. I mean, that's really, don't forget, this is the model prayer, right? Jesus is given, here's a pattern for prayer. He isn't giving us something just to recite. If He was giving us something to recite, we've got a problem, because He blew it in either Matthew or Luke, right? He didn't give us the same thing. He gave us two different things, but they followed the same flow. And so this is not something to recite. It's a pattern. And in the pattern, Jesus starts with the Father and His character, then the Father and His agenda, your kingdom come, right? And then it moves down to our needs. That's the flow. We start with God and move to us. We don't start with us and move to God. And so He says, look, your kingdom come. And what He's really saying here is just pray about the world. The world is broken. God doesn't have full rule in your life. You're still on the throne. Get yourself off the throne so that God is on the throne of your life. It's that whole deal. It start with God so that you're enamored with God, that you want what God wants. And you're saying, God, bring your will, bring your kingdom, bring your agenda, bring your desires into my life. And then you're ready to pray for your own needs. And it's not complicated. We pray about real needs. He says, pray for your personal needs, your physical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Give me the bread I need for this day, Lord. And it's obvious, that's not just about food. It's whatever your need of the day is. Whatever you need today, bring it to the Lord. Whatever's concerning you today, bring it to the Lord. And then the next thing is we move to our relational needs, right? He talks about forgiveness. He says, you know, Lord, forgive us, for we also forgive those in our lives. And it's the whole idea. And you know what He's saying? Boy, we hate this part, but forgiveness is a big deal. Lack of forgiveness is the ultimate prayer killer. If you're still having brain debates, if you're still trying to take out vengeance on somebody else, then it becomes a barricade against your prayer. And so every day we take kind of the relational assessment. Who is it that we need to, are we being fully forgiving of the people in our lives today? And it doesn't mean that you've completely done. It just means, are you forgiving at the best level you can forgive today? Are you taking them off the hook? Do they no longer owe you anything? And then finally, we pray for protection. He says, Don't lead us into temptation. Well, we're really praying here. I mean, some of what we're praying is, Lord, don't lead me into pain and struggle because I'm liable to fail. But what we're really saying is, Lord, I don't have any confidence in my abilities. Don't put me in a place that guarantees that I'll fail. Don't take me beyond what I can handle. And then the final lesson, we've said it several times, let me just emphasize it, is never give up. Never give up. Just keep praying. See, that's the deal. Go pound on the door. Be shamelessly audacious. And I'm just going to keep praying about this thing and pounding on your door. I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep knocking. But I'm just going to keep on praying. And God says, bring it. Keep praying about it. But when do you stop? Let me just say, kind of wrap it up. When do you stop praying about something? I think there's three reasons you stop praying. Okay? Number one is you get what you're asking for, right? You're praying, 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 and God moves. Well, you stop praying about that. There's no reason to keep praying. It's done. Second reason, a little more complicated, God tells me no. God tells me no. You're laying it out, and laying it out, and God tells you no. The scary thing is that if in the Garden of Eden, Jesus Christ can pray that this cup will pass, and God says no, then there's no guarantee we get what we want. When the Apostle Paul, who has a thorn in the flesh, and we don't know what that is, some have suggested that meant he was married. I don't think that's the case. But he's got this thorn in the flesh, right? And he keeps praying, saying, Lord, would you take it away? And then God says, no. If that's going to happen to Jesus, if that's going to happen to the Apostle Paul, then we got to be prepared. Sometimes the answer is no. And so when he says no, stop praying. And then finally, the last reason you stop praying is you no longer want it. Don't ever forget that prayer is this relationship. And it's not just about being an effective asker to get what you want. It's God working in you. And sometimes God changes you. He works in you in such a way that you no longer want whatever it is that you've wanted in the past. Your desires have changed. Your motives have changed. You've changed. And you're lined up a little bit more with God now. You don't want it anymore. In which case, you just stop praying about it. But otherwise, you just never give up. You keep pounding on the doors of heaven. Because we have a how much better, so much better Father. What I love about this is that at the core of this whole thing is we find Jesus, who has this ongoing, everyday, intimate love relationship with the Father, that he's able to talk to him in a way that is radical and revolutionary and new, so that the disciples are drawn to that. And they say, teach us how. And instead of Jesus saying, nope, this is for me to know and you not. What Jesus does is throw open the doors and say, God wants that relationship with you too. God wants a father-child relationship with every one of you. Let me talk to you about what that looks like. God the Father has gone to incredible lengths to have a relationship with you. He longs for that daily conversation with you. He longs to have that ongoing relationship with you as better than your best friend and greater than the most loving Father. That's what he wants. And so you just say, teach me to have that kind of relationship. Teach me how to pray. And he will. Well, let's pray, you guys. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for your character. That you long to have a relationship with us. Thank you for the length that you went to teach us to pray. So Lord, I come to you today for myself, for my family, for our church, for our nation, and say, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to walk with you. Teach us to live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Teach us to have that ongoing experience with you. Teach us to pray.